Welcome to episode 4 of the Words with a Wise Guy podcast. Really, really excited today because I'm going to talk to a guy that's got a lot of things going on. He's a country music singer, musician, entertainer, however you would want to frame that. Adam Capps. He's also a former Shocker javelin thrower, really terrific javelin thrower, part of our team years ago. And so there's, you know, a very interesting story about Adam and how he's gotten to where he is, and he's also a local guy. He's a Wichita guy, so he kind of checks all the boxes that we're looking for here as we start talking to interesting people from Wichita, which is the theme. And Adam is definitely one of the guys that thought of when we were having ideas of our podcast here. So, Adam, thanks for coming. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You know, kind of getting started about yourself. So you grew up in Wichita and went to Bishop Carroll.
Yep.
Correct? So Bishop Carroll, and you were obviously a track athlete, but what else did you do at Bishop Carroll?
Track was never my thought when I was in high school, middle school, all that. I played football. I loved football. I played basketball. I wrestled for a year. I golfed for about 10 years, and then I played baseball. Baseball was always kind of my best sport. I always had a great arm, and sophomore year at Bishop Carroll, I ended up quitting baseball and going out for the track team, and actually was in like a top thrower in state. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll do okay at track. My dad, he wasn't real happy when I told him I'm quitting baseball to run track, but ended up being one of the best decisions I made in my athletic career.
So you didn't immediately go to Wichita State?
Nope. I went to Fort Hays.
So, yeah, how'd that happen, and how'd you get to Wichita State?
I played football for a little bit at Fort Hays, and I actually got a dual scholarship for football and track, and which I later on will talk about some of my injuries, and I swear football had to do with some of it. Because my days were, you know, I wake up, go to football practice, go to school, go to football practice again, and then go to track practice. Because at Fort Hays, I actually did decathlon. So I did all the events. It was a long, long day. I was eating, I can't even tell you how many thousands of calories a day. And, went to Fort Hays. In Division II, I was All-American my first year in javelin. And then got a call from Dorf, John Hetzendorf, the coach here. And he had me come out and play or run track here.
So, you know, before we get into Wichita State, you're talking about how much you had to do on those days and how difficult they were. Do you look back at that at all as like a foundation for like grinding through your career as a musician?
Yeah.
And has that helped compared to maybe somebody that didn't have that struggle athletically? Do you think about athletics and how that was like a foundation of what you're doing?
I used to be a teacher, and we'll talk more about that later also. I used to tell my students all the time, you know, try everything you can, you know, sports, drama club, whatever it is, just because being part of something makes you a better person. The respect, the responsibility, the camaraderie, everything about it. To me, sports was a huge influence on my life. And I still talk to people about how, you know, track and the friendships I made and, you know, is made me the man I am today. You know, all the hard work.
So you end up coming to Wichita State and become part of this javelin thing that's going on here. And for those of you that maybe are here because you're a fan of Adam's music, what you might not realize is Wichita State's javelin tradition is amongst the best in the country. I think last year it was either number one or number two ranked javelin group in the nation, and you were a big part of that. You know, what was it like being part of that? And then what do you think Coach Hetzendorf has this special javelin thing going on? Obviously, he was a great javelin thrower, for
right,
those you don't know. But what is your experience in that and why it's so successful?
Well, it's the way he coaches is there's not many coaches that go out there and show you how to do it by doing it. And the fact that he's been there, done that, and knows every little quirk about javelin, every little thing. I remember it was as simple as a small release on when I was doing it. It added several feet to my throw. And the cool thing when I was here, so Trent Masnick, Brett Trudeau, and me, you know, we took 1, 2, 3 in conference, I think 2 years in a row until Trent graduated. But Trent was number one. Is he still top of the list?
No, actually, Aaron True broke his record
last
year.
I know all of us. I don't even know if I'm on the top 10 anymore. But, man, Us three, it was fun having all three of us here. And there's even times that when some of the meets we went to, Dorf threw also.
Yeah.
So there was one time that I know there were, we were top four, all shockers, including Coach Dorf, that, you know, we're all top four on the javelin list.
Yeah. So, I mean, Adam was, I think, on the top 10, or he's right 10th or 11th right now. We actually had a freshman throw 240 last year, so that might have knocked you down a little bit. But it's, you know, part of this great javelin tradition. He's got a Missouri Valley sweatshirt on there, so I thought that was pretty cool. He's kind of throwing back where he's got some old gear. So you were throwing javelin, and you had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And explain how music started, maybe as javelin ended, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I always played guitar. I got my first guitar when I was like 13. And always played guitar, never really sang much. I wrote a little bit of music. And then my sophomore year at Wichita State, I tore my ACL at the conference meet.
Okay, wait a minute. I think I've seen video of this before.
Yeah.
Is there a video?
There is a video.
Are we able to pull up? Oh, nice job. Okay. Oh, I like the caption, busted knee, posted by Adam Capps. That's good. Okay, explain what's going on. Is this Illinois State?
This is at Illinois State, yeah. And unfortunately, there is no volume, but you can hear the snap. And if you pause it at the right time, you can see it. You can see it buckle.
Yeah.
When that happened, the first thing, because I knew it right away. I tore my ACL, and I had never torn my ACL before. And I was like, this must be what it feels like. Mm. And you can see me rocking there. And then shortly after that, I look over at Dorf and I say, how far did the javelin go? And I smiled. And then I looked at my trainer at the time. I said, dude, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Oh, man. Crazy. So, but that wasn't necessarily the injury that really knocked you out.
No, that was, I came back from that and through the next couple years. And then the end of my, it was in 2011. I was out at practice, and we were just doing sprints. I wasn't even doing sprints. I was jogging down the runway for an easy throw, and I popped my Achilles tendon and snapped that in half. And that was the worst recovery. I would tear my ACL two times over before tearing my Achilles again.
Yeah.
But the plus side of that is that's when I finally decided, Adam, you're not an athlete anymore. You need to find something else. So I was a teacher, but at the same time, I started playing music a lot more because I was bedridden for a long time. I was on crutches for a long time. So I'd sit down and I'd play guitar. I started writing music. And just a couple years later, we put out our first album. So
you would just sit at home, grab a guitar,
yep,
and learn. Before that, was it just something you kind of thought about doing for fun? Or when did you start thinking, well, I could maybe do something with this?
It really wasn't even until I was teaching for a couple of years, because I remember there was a couple times that I'd play a Wednesday night show or something. I had to wake up the next day to go teach. But I wasn't real serious about it until I realized we put one of our songs out called Memories on the Road, and actually became one of the top 70 songs on the radio, on country radio. I was like, okay, maybe I got a chance at this. So I remember telling my boss, you know, I hope one day I can tell you I'm quitting so I can go do music. And he was like, I hope you can too. And the next year, it got to the point where financially, music was, you know, just as good as teaching or better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually could tell my boss, I said, hey, I'm quitting. And he was proud of me. He was happy for me. And that was almost 3 years ago now. So I've been doing music full time for 3 years, and it's been the best decision I ever made.
So go back a little bit. So as you're starting to write songs or perform, do you remember the first time you performed in front of an audience?
Yep, because I was still like? In a boot. I was still when I tore my Achilles, so I did some.
And was
performing.
It you playing your own songs, or were you playing other like cover songs?
It was a mix. I maybe had one or two songs, and I was probably too nervous to play them.
Where was this at?
Meade's Corner.
Oh yeah, Meade's Corner, which is now closed. Just closed.
Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, yeah. But there's a video of it somewhere, and good luck finding that when you're not going to. And, in fact, I think it was online, and I sent YouTube to delete it because it was so embarrassing. But, yeah, I was up there. I had my boot on my leg, and I had a music stand in front of me, and it was bad. I watched it. I was like, oh, man, I've come a long way.
So something people might not realize out there, the relationship between javelin and country music is there is another fairly popular guy who had the same background, Garth Brooks.
Yep.
So Garth Brooks was a javelin thrower at Oklahoma State, and he would play gigs. I've heard the story about how he would play the honky-tonks at night, and he would, you know, go to college, and he would, you know, this is when he was just getting started. There's some pictures of Garth throwing javelin. He was pretty good. You know, he threw the old javelin.
That, right.
You know, they threw it farther. It's hard to believe that's Garth Brooks right there, but he was that was a good picture. And a good javelin thrower. That top right, see that one kind of like in the uniform? That's a classic with the headshot. Just one more. There we go. Oklahoma wow. State, Garth Brooks. That could be you someday. They'll be bringing up that headshot from the Go Shockers website. I'm assuming you're aware of that in Garth Brooks' background.
I was, yeah. Yeah,
are you a Garth fan?
I am a huge Garth fan. And if you have not seen Garth in concert, if you think you're a Garth fan and you've never seen him in concert, when you see him in concert, you will be a huge Garth fan.
Yeah, I saw him when I was in college a long time ago. Basically when you were just a little kid. But Coach Rainbolt, our head track coach, has the best Garth story. So when he was at Nebraska coaching in the 80s, this is when Garth was just out of college, and he was just opening for people. And I can't remember who, but there was a concert at a high school, and there was a kind of an old-time country guy. They were doing like a fundraiser at a high school, and Garth was the opening act. Because he had nothing at that point. He was just kind of playing for opening act. So they were coming around the athletic department selling tickets for $5 to try to get fundraise. And Bolt bought some tickets for him and his kids and his family. And, you know, 3 months later, the concert's going to, you know, coming up. Within the time he bought the tickets to the concert that came 3 months later, his first album came out, which obviously was like the biggest country music album yep. at that time ever. So when the concert came, the old guy who was the act was the opening act, and Garth was the feature guy. So it had switched, and he said it was the craziest concert because Garth, as a young athletic guy who was a Division I college athlete, was doing all kinds of crazy, you know, athletic stuff. And
oh, it's fun to watch. Even now, like if you see Garth walking down the street, you would never guess how active he is on stage. I swear that guy goes through an entire cardio workout every concert.
So what's that like putting on a show and you've obviously done these shows that you're out there for hours. You know, how demanding is that physically? Do people realize how tough that is to stand up there and sing and walk around and be active?
When we're playing, you don't realize it. You just get out there. And, you know, there's a difference between a show and a concert. And, you know, we've done played the Cotillion here. We played at Lawrence Dumont Stadium. We've played with Big and Rich, Billy Currington, Van Perry, and when you're playing a concert like that, you're in it's euphoric, man. Like, you're up there, you have no feeling. But when you get done, the next day, my feet hurt, my back hurts, my, you know, everything. So it is, it takes a toll on your body, and it's a lot better workout than you think. And then you think of those guys that, like Garth, who puts on 5 days in a row, 2 shows a day. That's insane to me. Yeah. But yeah, it's tough.
What is it hardest on your body physically, or do you have your voice? Does it ever have issues with your voice that much?
I used to have problems with my voice. So the last 2 years, last year I played 147 shows. This year, with what I got booked already through December, I'll be 153. And the voice it's a muscle. So rarely does my voice get tired anymore. Mm-hmm. Unless I play 4 or 5 shows a week that are long shows, or if I'm sick. But it's more of the physical strain on my body sometimes. If I do 4 or 5 shows a week, it's tough.
Are you working out to stay in shape for
yep.
performing?
Yep.
And what kind of training are you doing now?
Well, see, after all my injuries, now my back, since track, I've had minor shoulder surgery and minor back surgery. And so everything I do now, I hardly lift weights anymore. But I still work out 5 days a week. I do a lot of yoga. I do a lot of body weight stuff. A lot of HIIT workouts. I've really gotten into those. But, yeah, I enjoy working out.
I think yoga is really good as you get older.
Awesome.
One of the probably things I've done
yep.
more than anything is yoga. So as you were starting to get into music, like, who were some of the people that you liked and that, I guess, were influences that, I don't, you know, you don't ever, you want to be your own self, obviously.
Right.
You want to be your own person. But were there people that you just were inspired by or learned from or just, you know, were really into that helped inspire you to be who you are?
I grew up on rock. My dad loved rock. And anytime we were in the truck, we listened to rock. We listened to Queen, Marshall Tucker Band. So that sound is kind of what I like. But then today's artist, the guy that really inspired me, his style would be Eric Church. But then all around background story and everything would be Kip Moore. And the reason I like both those guys, they will never put out a song for radio. They put out songs for themselves, for their fans, especially Kip Moore. I mean, it's known. He's been, you know, so many people have talked about how Kip puts out albums that aren't for the radio. They put them out for his fans. And that's what I truly dig about Kip Moore and Eric Church is they don't conform to what today's Nashville wants. They do what they want.
That's something that – so I like country music. Obviously, I'm not some sort of real educated guy. But living in Wichita – so I'm from Ohio. And when I grew up in Ohio – the only people that you could go see were people that were on the radio, people that are, you know, because that's the people that would come out that far
right.
to give a show. Here, we're kind of in a place that you see other guys. You can see guys from Texas come up or mm-hmm. there's Oklahoma guys. And there's a difference in the music and things like that. And I have these conversations with friends all the time about, you know, the term is sellout, I guess you would call that, but Nashville versus, you know, authentic country music or
right.
whatever, like, how do you fit into that or how, you're kind of talking about it, the way I'm saying is, you know, how does a guy try to stay in his own authenticity, and not go a route where they, you know, end up selling out, I guess.
It's tough. My biggest thing all the time, people ask me, are you going to try to make it big someday? And I make a living. I make a good living playing what I want to do. I'm my own boss. So I don't need to conform and do what Nashville wants because I do what I want and I'm making it work. I can go on a big tangent about some of the Nashville stuff, but
go for it.
Okay. I'll be tame about it. The biggest – money's everything in every business. But you could literally buy your way into fame in music. And the biggest thing, there's been times that we actually had a chance to go on a decent tour with a big headlining artist. But somebody bought the opening position for $250,000.
Hmm.
And in the same way for – if you want to put out an album. So I get a very good studio album done in – Tulsa, or even here in Wichita, we got a great guy. My guitar player actually did a lot of work for Steppenwolf. He recorded their last album. He was the producer on that, and he's our music producer. He'll put out something just as good as Nashville was, but if you go to Nashville to put out a 10-song album, it's going to be between $50,000 and $75,000, and they know it. They know that somebody who's an independent artist can't afford that, so that's their way of thinning out the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that stamp of approval from Nashville, it's hard for you to make it. And I get bitter. If I go much further, I'll get way too bitter.
It seems to me if you're, you know, going to go that route, you have to have, like, designer holes in your jeans.
Yeah, it's not me.
And they have to be really tight and maybe, like, you know, a sponsored T-shirt or something like that that is a hint that maybe it's not authentic country
music. Yeah, I dare you to find a concert recently that I'm not wearing just a black T-shirt. That's
maybe Shock or Track and Field.
Maybe I wear Shock and Track and Field sometimes. Yeah, but no, I agree. What's his name? Aaron from Stained. He's now a country artist, and he talks about how, you know, in one of his songs, how he says he told you to whiten your smile, put a cowboy hat on, you could lose a couple pounds, and he said that ain't me, and that's. That is so true. I love people like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to be. I want to gain a true following. You can buy Facebook likes now.
Mm.
And we got 5,000 followers on Facebook or just under. Those are true followers that we got.
Right.
You know, when we post, we have 5,000 followers. I posted something yesterday, got 125 likes on it. You can go to somebody else who's got 50,000 followers. They can post the exact same picture, and I've seen it happens all the time. They'll get 15 likes on it
right.
because half of those are fake.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. So so we're talking about kind of the current state of country music. So who are some of the people that you've really enjoyed playing with? So you've played with, you said, Big and Rich and Billy Currington and people like that. Have there been some guys that you've really enjoyed hanging out with, getting to know somebody? I'm not going to tell you who. Don't tell me who are the bad guys.
There's been
who have you really liked that are good guys behind the scenes?
The coolest guy that we've ever talked to, hung out, is Chris Jansen. You know, he sings Buy Me a Boat. And he's become a huge, I mean, that guy is awesome. One of the, another great concert to see. Chris Jansen was cool. We were out in the parking lot on the tailgate of my truck drinking beers. And his band was just walking around. And so we had a chance to talk to him. Granger Smith was really cool. When he came, we played with him at the Cotillion. And I was unloading all my merchandise stuff, my CDs, my T-shirts and everything. And I looked, there's another guy carrying like boxes, like, past his face, and he sets it down, and it's Granger Smith. And it was cool to me to see that he's, you know, he just had a number one song, you know, on country radio, and he's still unloading all his own stuff. That is so cool to me. There's been other guys, like I said, I won't drop any names. He came out to me one time, had his hat down over his eyes, gave me a piece of paper, said, don't sing any of these songs, handed it to me, turned around and walked out, never saw him again. He didn't show up for his meet and greet. There are people that get too big for their britches.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, so I got to imagine, so I've never written a song or anything like that, but I got to think writing a song, putting music together has got to be one of the most difficult things there is to do. How do you sit down, write a song? Like, do you have to get into a certain frame of mind? Do you put the music together first? Do you write the lyrics first? How do you write a song?
I'm backwards from what almost everybody else does. I write the music first, and I put words to it, which a lot of people think is a weird way to do it, but I've written hundreds of songs. There are times where a song comes together in an hour. There are times when a song comes together over 2 years, and it just kind of depends what's inspiring me at the time. Our newest single, The Beat Goes On, which to me, I mean, I'm biased, I know, but to me, The Beat Goes On is the greatest song we ever put out. It means so much to me when I put it out. And that's a song that, you know, it hit right at home for me. And writing it took about 30 minutes. I sat down on my couch, poured a bottle of Jack. Not a bottle, just a glass. And wrote an entire song in 30 minutes.
It'd be a different song if it was a whole bottle.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But and there's other times that it's taken me 2 years. I'd revisit that song 15 times before it gets done.
Yeah.
So
I heard an interview with Chris Stapleton. He said he does the same thing. So he music first and then kind of the lyrics. If he's writing a song for himself, sometimes he writes with other people that they might start with lyrics, but he does the same thing. So maybe that's not the worst
maybe
way to go. He's a pretty
Stapleton
good songwriter, Chris Stapleton. So I got a funny story that, once again, Coach Rainbolt is part of. He's part of some other funny stories. But we were at his place. Coach Rainbolt, our head track coach, was having a get-together. We're around a fire pit, and we're listening to country music on the speaker. And I've got my phone, and it's just kind of playing some music. You're playing Zac Brown Band and playing whatever, Billy Currington, whatever, you know, is playing. And this was right when you were early in your, you know, career, and Play It Proud was one of your first songs, right?
Yeah.
So I'd heard that, and I thought it was a cool song. And so I just put it on, didn't say anything. And people are talking and hanging out and, you know, going on. And towards the end of the song, I go, hey, Bolt, do you know who sings this? And Bolt listens to a lot of country music, a lot of popular country music, and, you know, stuff that's on the radio, too. And he's thinking, well, who does that sound? Is that Eric Church, or is that, you know, who is that? And I go, that's Adam Capps. And he was dumbfounded, because I'm not sure he knew that you had recorded a song at that point. And the point of that whole thing was it sounded as good as the other music. It's just you're not as well known as the other guys,
right?
Like, you know, and I thought that, you know, it was kind of, I did that to try to fool him, to try to fool whoever that was there. And I thought that was always a cool thing. So that what's the difference? You were kind of talking about it, like a song that you write Because I listen to him and I think that song sounds as good as the songs on the radio that the guy got famous. How do you go from that to being an authentic guy like, you know, Buy Me a Boat or whatever? How does that song happen from there to there and you become authentically a country singer that people really know about and make a major living at?
There's one reason. Money.
Yeah.
Money. Money, I'm telling you, money will get...
So even the guys that are legit country guys that aren't, you know, Nashville guys.
They're far and few between. Chris Jansen is somebody that's worked very hard. Yeah. And the fact that I was talking about him and Kip Moore, they've been at it for a long, long time. And, so for example, radio promotion. I don't pay anybody to do anything with my music except for my radio promoters. I do everything. I do all my own booking, managing, everything. I enjoy doing it. And nobody's going to work harder for you than you will. Mm-hmm. And that's always kind of been my mindset on things. But radio promotion is something you got to have. And it's not cheap. I spent tens of thousands of dollars on radio promotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's my own hard-earned money that I put out there. And we're not backed by somebody. We don't have any big record label that's going to put hundreds of thousands of dollars to it. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. But if you grind it, make real fans, you can do it over a long time.
Okay, last question about that topic, because I sit and talk to friends with this all the time. Okay, if you had a chance to make $1 million, but you had to wear the tight jeans with the holes in them and, you know, sell out, or the rest of your career stay at the level that you're at now and never get any higher, which one would you choose? Because I know people that struggle with this question that are friends of mine that really love authentic country music, but man, that's temptation is right there. I think a lot of guys who are really want to be authentic, they, you know, maybe they have a family, yep, or they, you know, need to, you know, support.
Luckily, right now, there are like Luke Combs, Chris Stapleton, Chris Jansen. They're coming out of the woodworks. You know, yeah, it's getting a little more to that true country music now and a little more be yourself. Don't be, you know, what they're calling pop country.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, no, I wouldn't do it. I think
good.
I would.
I was hoping
I would do what I'm doing and make it the right way.
Yeah.
And last night I had the same conversation with my girlfriend. You know, hey, if you won $1.6 billion, would you quit music?
Yeah. Did you get a lotto ticket?
I have never bought a lotto ticket in my entire life. And we went out yesterday. It was like we went fishing. And I was like, let's get lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed up till 10 and looked at it. I was like, we lost. Okay. Back to work.
That's that Luke Combs story, like new song. He's bought, yep, a lotto ticket. His girl thought it was a,
yep,
waste of money. Okay, so I'm like traveling. Traveling is something we talk about a lot on this podcast. You've got to have had some tough grinding travel, you know, in your life going from one gig to one gig. Like, what are some of the, if you've had either a crazy travel story or something that's been tough, is there anything that comes to mind?
We were talking about this, me and the guys, the other day. I have gotten extremely lucky. I've put over 40,000 miles on my truck every year, and I've never had a problem with my truck. I'm screwed now because I just said that. But we've had my trailer one time. The most embarrassing, we were at Country Stampede, and it says Adam Capps on it. And we're out in the, I had a two-wheel drive truck at the time, and we're parked on flat grass. I got stuck. And everybody's walking by, I was like, oh my gosh, look, Adam Capps is such a loser. He can't even get his truck out of there. Oh my gosh. So that was embarrassing. One of my bass player, his truck broke down just outside of Colorado. And that was a hassle. He ended up having to pull over on the side of the road on the biggest sticker patch I've ever seen in my life.
Hmm.
But lots of late nights. So many late nights. Yeah. I mean, but that's the latest song that I might, if I play a music song for you guys, I might do this for you. I do a lot of writing late at night. I'm in my truck, and I have a sticky note or something to write on. And this last song, I was on my way home, and it was 2 or 3 in the morning on our way home from somewhere. It might have been in Colorado again. And my entire dashboard is filled up with sticky notes because I just write it down, stick it on my dashboard, mm-hmm, and, you know, maybe not safe, but, hey, I got a song out of it.
Yeah, awesome. So, you know, you think people might think of glorious side of music, you know, music career, and that, you know, you have stories like that. You know, same thing with track coaching. People go, man, it must be awesome to travel around all these places. So I had a week ago, I started in, I went on a recruiting trip to St. Louis. So I'd go to St. Louis on a Wednesday, recruit Thursday, Friday, get back at midnight from St. Louis, 5 a.m. Saturday morning, drive the B squad cross country team to Hayes, Kansas for a cross country meet. That's, and that right there is a picture as the sun rose. That was 5 hours after I got back from St. Louis. So go up there, watch those guys and girls, and come back. And then the next day, go to Dallas. And, you know, that's Sunday. Recruit Monday. Get back Tuesday. This is fall break. And so the kids get back on Wednesday for practice. And the kids go, you know, hey, coach, you have a good break? I'm like, well, no, I didn't really have a break. Like, I've been out recruiting kids trying to, you know, help us get better. And so, but like you said, you know, there's so many things that happen in that that you know, whether you're driving or on a plane or whatever, it, like, you know, gets you away from your job and gets you thinking about things, and maybe you hit on something like a song or an idea for something, and it, you know, in those times, you just have to go for it and do things. So, What about a song? Let's play a song. Can you play a song for us?
Yeah, I can do that.
Do we have much setup we need to do, Kurt? Grab a guitar and say, well, when you get that set up, we'll talk about cross country a little bit. So our cross country team is at the American Conference Cross Country Championships right now in New Orleans, and they are possibly getting ready to run as we speak because there is a hurricane heading towards the cross country championships, and so they might have to move the meet up a day. We're recording this on a Wednesday morning, and the meet was supposed to be on Thursday, and so I'm hoping that our cross country team is able to get a championship race in. So if you're following cross country at all and you're hearing this later during the day, it might have already happened. It might not even be running a race. So all right, Adam, we got a live song by Adam Capps here. What are we playing?
Early morning, guys, is not the greatest for do I need my headphones on for this?
Okay. Good to go.
I've also got my pick. Whoever's the sound guy, it might be a little bit louder this time.
I've never been the best at anything, but I'll take what I can get. I try to live like a rolling thunder and live my life without regret. And life ain't ever easy, but it made me who I am. I put my best foot forward and give it all that I have. But sometimes it's a dead end road. It's tough, I know. Yeah, the road less traveled can bring you back home. If it don't work out and you wind up back to where it all began, well, you hold your head up high. You gave it all that you had. You keep your faith in God. It could use some help. So I bow my head and I'll give that devil hell. And I learned to pray from my old man, and I hope he's proud of me, 'cause I pray the best that I can. Sometimes it's a dead end road. It's tough, I know. Yeah, the road less traveled can bring you back home. If it don't work out and you wind up back where it all began, well, you hold your head up high. You gave it all that you had. Yeah. And sometimes it's a dead end road. It's tough, I know. Yeah, the road less traveled can bring you back home. If it don't work out and you wind up back where it all began, well, you hold your head up high. You gave it all that you had. Keep giving it all that you had.
Early. Man.
Don't forget.
Dude, that was awesome. That is classic. Man, I'm jealous. I wish I could play guitar. Man, you have to teach me at the end of the show. We'll have to see. So, okay. So thank you very much for that. And I've actually got my Adam Capps CD right here. I brought it out of my car because it was sitting in my car. And when he gets back, maybe we'll ask him where he's playing and who he's got coming up. So this has kind of all his hits, all of the greatest hits, I guess you could call it, Play It Proud. So do you have any shows coming up or, you know, this week? Are you heading out of town, staying in town? If people want to see where you're at.
See, Monday we were out at Milford Lake, which I had never been to Milford Lake. What a gorgeous place. So Monday, and then we play Thursday. Yeah, I can't always keep everything straight. I play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. Hey, there we go.
Nice.
A Loft Hotel in Wichita. I got a couple of Wichita. And then Leonardville, Kansas, up by Manhattan.
We have a recruit staying at the Loft Hotel Thursday night.
Perfect.
Believe it or not. Yeah, I'm going to tell about that.
So that's like a lot of those. You know, I do a lot of the smaller Wichita stuff. And then the weekends and the winters slow down. You know, once the winter months come around, you know, I do a lot of more of the honky-tonk stuff, which I really I love doing honky-tonk stuff. That's where I make my living. But from like May to October, fairs, festivals, fall fest, road. I mean, it just, we're packed. We are slammed from May to October.
I saw you early on when you were starting your career, and then I kind of have seen you periodically. I've probably seen you play 8 or 10 times. And I can tell you and everybody who's not seen Adam play, every time I see him, it's better and better and better. And one of the last times I saw you was at Riverfest. And I'm telling you, that was a heck of a show. I mean, from when I think of watching you play at the
Keg and Colwich, I know.
Yeah, or at the Student Center at Wichita State. And then that was a concert show, fun, rocking good time. And so if anybody is interested in having fun, listening to some really good music, check out probably your website has all your dates and
everything.
Things like that.
AdamCapsMusic.com. They got it up there.
AdamCapsMusic.com. And do you have any kind of new music coming out?
We do. So like I said, The Beat Goes On just came out 3 or 4 weeks ago. Radio promotion just started on it. And I'm more pumped about this song than Memories on the Road or One More Song. So One More Song, that was the one we put out last year. And it kind of put us on the map more than anything else has. It was a top 60 song on country radio. And so One More Song has been huge for us. But, so The Beat Goes On, that single came out. And the album will come out the first part of 2019. In January, we'll have a full 10-song album come out.
Awesome. All right, we might come back with Adam here. I'm going to see if he can teach me how to play guitar. Part of playing a guitar learning had to be to impress girls, right? Isn't that part of that?
Huge part. Yeah. Everybody. That's why everybody picks up a guitar at some point.
I need that. Okay. Okay, so a few things I saw that are interesting, and you feel free to weigh in on this. So I saw a kid put a high jump situation together on Twitter. So he put some PVC pipes in a trampoline. Check out this video. I mean, I'm not a parent. Is this a good idea?
Of course. Safe? I'm not a parent either, so I think it's a great idea.
If you don't hit that pit perfectly, your career is over athletically. But that's pretty good. That kid's a good high jumper.
That is.
He's got the approach right down the concrete, like, straight, and then he turns. Did you, like, as a kid, were you doing stuff like that? Were you doing things that probably weren't that safe?
Throwing rocks? Not safe? Yo, yeah.
Yeah. So as a baseball player, you were probably throwing stuff or hitting stuff.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a young kid and you're doing stuff that's safe all the time, you don't really have a childhood. I mean, I have a fake tooth in the front. You can't see the scar. I have a giant scar down the side of my face. I've, you know, broken a couple bones, torn my ACL, Achilles, shoulder. That's how you know you're doing life right.
It sounds like a good foundation for a country song.
Yeah. That and throw some booze in there.
So another track and field related thing, Marquise Goodwin, he's a wide receiver in the NFL, was also an Olympic long jumper.
Yep.
Did you see the touchdown celebration that he had after this? Check out this play. He plays for the 49ers. I think this is it. It's one of the great. It's got to be the one of the greatest touchdown celebrations there is. Okay, touchdown, Marquise. So remember, this guy's a 27-foot long jumper. And, okay, this is not the celebration. Okay. It was, unless that he continues on. in that. He did a basically run up like a long jumper in the end zone and finished the long jump. So maybe we'll find that one. We'll come back. So he does a long jump celebration, Marquise Goodwin. Maybe type in Marquise Goodwin long jump celebration. See if you can find that.
And you hear a lot of these football players are track stars back in college.
Absolutely, yeah. And then they've made it so that you can do celebrations now.
Yep.
So they've changed that rule. Oh yeah, this is it right here. Okay, he gets in there. Watch this. Okay, so now he's gonna start the approach, kind of do, and there it is. And they're marking it. So the officials, the other guys are the officials.
That's great.
Yeah. That was awesome. I thought that was really, really fun. So who do you got in the World Series? Red Sox, Dodgers? Are you at all a baseball guy?
No, I still watch it. Now, of all the major sports, I don't watch baseball religiously. I like watching the Royals. But my family just moved up to Boston. They're just north of Boston. I honestly really don't care.
I don't either. So you're a Royals fan. I'm from Cincinnati. So I'm a Reds fan.
Okay.
Two of the worst teams in baseball right now. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But either one of those, I'm not too.
No, I still might go to a bar and drink a beer with some guys to watch the game.
Yeah. So I was actually at the Chiefs-Bengals game on Sunday.
That was a good one to go to, wasn't it?
Man, that was disaster.
I love
the Bengals.
I watch football way too much.
I found this website. So I was talking to somebody, and we just had a question about how many people are in the world. It just was one of these random conversations. And do you know there's a website that's called the World Population Clock, and it populates this is the rate of the population as, like, you know, in real time. So you see how many people are being born literally as we're talking. There's been 12 people born. And in these last few seconds, this website also breaks down into so many different categories. It's unbelievable. If anybody wants to kill an hour looking at statistics of numbers and different countries, I just happened to randomly find this website. This is one of the coolest things I've ever seen because it breaks down to every country in the world as well. So you can kind of see. So there's the rankings. Like, we're ranked third right now in the world population. And then they chart it out, like, at the rate that you're going, what the populations will be. Because I think that China is number one, but it's going to be surpassed by, was it India? India is going to surpass China at some point here in the next few years because they're just, the rate of population is growing. So, yeah, that was crazy.
So if you have a dream, get it done before the world's overpopulated.
There you go. Move to Kansas because they've got plenty of space out
Tons.
Here. Yeah. Tallgrass Film Festival was this past week. Shout out to Hillary Staten, who's the daughter of Larry Staten, one of our Shocker Track Club board members. So Hillary had a film. They had a Kansas film, so congratulations to her. I was not able to go to the Tallgrass Film Festival. But this brings up something I was going to ask you about. You know, this is some local art stuff. Tallgrass Film Festival is a legitimate, terrific film festival. How is Wichita, as you travel, how's Wichita as a music city and a place that has live music?
It's booming. Like, when I first started playing music, let's just say 5-6 years ago, it's grown tremendously since then. Adam Hartke and his partner Alex, they're the new owners of the Cotillion. They opened The Wave. They run Barleycorns. They've done so much for the music scene here in Wichita, but people don't realize Wichita has a great music scene. Mm-hmm. All sorts of genres, and it's get out there and support live music. That's, you know, you hear it all the time. They preach it, but I mean, we appreciate it more than you know when people show up to listen, because it's, whether it's 15 people or 1,500, 2,000 people, 10,000 people, if they're there to listen, it makes all the difference in the world. So get out there and support live music. I don't care the genre, anything. Just get out and listen.
Yeah, I live in downtown Wichita. I can walk out of where I live, and I can hear music most every night.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm a couple blocks from Wave, so they just put that in.
Yeah.
So I heard an Uncle Cracker concert, like, out of my window recently. So, you know, very cool stuff. And I think, I was having this discussion the other day with somebody, it's the best date you can have. Like, don't go to a dinner, and I love movies, and we're going to talk about movies in a minute, but like, go listen to some music. You don't have to talk to the person if you really aren't interested in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
that was great.
Just
yeah.
listen to it, and I think it's one of the best places you can go to hang out with somebody you don't know very well.
I agree. That, and then the best place to go is Panera Bread, because you don't have to leave a tip. It's quick. It's easy. It's an easy place to talk.
There you go. Yeah. Dating advice from Adam Capps.
Look at me, 30 and not married.
Okay, we're going to finish up with some movies. So always finish up with the final five. I've been so busy. I haven't seen five movies since the last podcast. I've seen four. And so, but I might ask Greg back there if he's seen anything since Crazy Rich Asians last time. But Adam, have you seen any movies lately?
I did go see, we went and saw A Star Is Born.
I was going to ask you. I have that.
Yeah,
on
I saw
here,
you wrote it down, but we did go see that.
I didn't ask you about it. Tell me about Star Is Born.
I liked it. I really did. It shows the uniqueness of a songwriter and how you can get lost in a song. So I really enjoyed watching. Oh, because Lady Gaga, she is so talented. It's insane. But showing how she writes her music and how she's inspired to write her music. And even Bradley Cooper, he does his own singing in it. So,
and he had like a number one song.
He did.
Like, yeah, crazy. Yep.
And
I heard it was heavy. I heard it got heavy.
It gets heavy. Yeah. But it's a great movie. My girlfriend's a great singer.
Did you cry?
I didn't. She did. She's a great singer. So we've actually been singing the Shallow one between the two of those two.
Awesome. Great. I want to see it. I haven't been able to see it, but I definitely want to see it. Have you seen anything, Greg? Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. First, how was that? Yeah.
Did they make it?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Okay, last ones I've seen is I've got this giant movie collection, DVDs, and I try to watch one. It was 600 DVDs, which Leif Yonker made fun of me. He's like this movie guy. Yeah, I know. So this guy said, you know, Leif said, good start with 600 because he's got thousands of them. But so I'm going through them alphabetically as fast as I can.
Okay.
It's usually a couple a week, and I'm on H's right now. So I saw He Got Game, which was the basketball movie with Denzel.
Okay, I saw that a long time ago.
Ray Allen was a young NBA player. And what I've heard, good movie. It's like a lot of college basketball recruiting, some illegal violations, you know, things like a Spike Lee movie.
Yep.
So kind of interesting. But I have heard they're talking about a sequel with Ray Allen at the end of a career. So this guy, you know, kind of following the movie now at the end of his professional career, which I think that'd be kind of interesting. If they made that, I don't know if it'd make any money, but another one called He Never Lied, which is a movie just happened to be in the same.
they can't even find a picture.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it.
It was not released, but Henry Rollins stars in it. So Henry Rollins is an old rocker, and I actually saw him do a show, not a music show, but a talking show. He calls it at the Orpheum a couple weeks ago. We talk about different things in Wichita that's going on. But yeah, it's called He Never Lied. Very interesting. He plays a guy that's like an immortal. I don't know if you'd call it like a vampire or something like that, but he's immortal and he's basically bored with life and he's trying to avoid people so that there it is. He never died. Did I say he lied? I totally messed that up. It's He Never Died. He Never Lied. That's a totally different movie. That's why they couldn't find it.
Yeah, that's,
he never
was,
died.
I was gonna make a presidential joke, but I'm not going to. That one will come out in 8 years.
Oh, man. Yes. That will be a definitely different movie. So Leif, the last podcast we had was with the guy that organized Horror Fest downtown, Leif Yonker. And so he convinced me to go see The Hills Have Eyes. I saw that, the original 1977 version of Hills Have Eyes on the big screen with the creepy looking guy right there. Really great experience. These old movies, I don't know if you're into old movies,
yes.
But. It's funny seeing them in the theater because they were really creepy and scary back then, and now because they're so low budget, it's almost like they're almost comedic in some ways because like unintentional comedy as technology has evolved, but still really good. There's a newer version of this, but I don't know if you ever saw The Hills Have Eyes.
I did, yeah.
And then I watched Heat, which De Niro and Pacino,
yep.
Which is one of the great scenes ever, and I think in a movie. They tried to get these two guys together for a long time. They were in The Godfather 2, but they never had a scene together. And so the big hype around this movie was they're going to have this big scene. It's a spectacular scene if you've never seen Heat. Not that rewatchable, but if you watch it one time, that would be a pretty good one to watch. So yeah, I'm trying to see A Star Is Born, and I'm off your recommendation. I'm going to try to get out and see that this week. So I thought for people who want to learn how to play guitar, maybe you could give me like a 60-second lesson on what are some basics. Grab a guitar, maybe show me a couple things, and then like for people want to get started, maybe some advice on how to do it.
Okay, I'm the greatest guitar teacher ever, so.
Let's see if you can prove it.
All right.
grab your guitar and show us a couple things real quick, and we will see how good of a guitar teacher. Now, he's obviously a great musician. You heard some of his things, and we'll see how good he is at teaching. So if you're going to get a guitar, should you get a lesson? Should you go online? What would be the best way to do this, besides obviously having you hire them?
I taught myself. I'd get online and figure out where to put your fingers and then figure it all out. But 4 chords will get you through any song.
Okay.
G, D, E minor, and C.
Okay.
All right. So G is your frets. G. Now this will be a quick lesson. G, D, E minor. That's the easiest chord. That's the first chord to teach anybody. E minor.
Okay.
And then C. And when you learn those chords,
that one looks difficult.
It's tough.
That's a tough one. Okay.
You can do. There's tons of them. Almost Heaven, West Virginia. You can do. Baby, a song, and maybe wanna roll my windows down. You can do Rock Me, Mama, like a wagon. Rock Me. So G, D, E minor, C.
Okay. Let me see if I can put my fingers on the right spot. Okay. All right. Is this a pick?
That's called a pick.
Okay. So G.
G.
So here. I pay attention pretty close.
That's very good. Yeah. Okay. Then you go to a D.
Right. A D. That was down here.
Yep.
Okay.
Very good, man.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
E minor.
Was that this?
You got it.
Okay. That was
and then C.
I just strummed that there. C, that was hard. So here.
That's right. Oops,
okay.
Right over 3 frets there.
So if I went like.
You're an expert. Oh, I need
1 minute lesson?
Man,
I can already play guitar.
Imagine what I can do in an hour.
We need a jingle.
You going to sing for us now?
No, how about a Words with a Wise Guy jingle? Okay, ready? From 1 minute guitar lesson. Here we go.
I don't know if I'm going to be a this is your thing. I feel like you should come up with it.
Words with the Wise Guy with Adam Capps. Episode 4, wrapping it up. Here we go. Goodbye.
That's pretty good.
All right, thanks, Adam. Appreciate you coming.
Not a problem.
And everybody go check out Adam Capps.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.